interviewed by ABC's Terry Moran.
This is not an innocent, wonderful gentleman from Maryland.
I'm not saying he's a good guy. It's about the rule of law. The order from the Supreme Court stands,
sir. He came into our country illegally.
You could get him back. There's a phone on this desk.
I could.
You could pick it up, and with all the power of the presidency, you could call up the president of El Salvador and say, send him back right now.
And if he were the gentleman that you say he is, I would do that.
The comments contradict previous White House statements the U.S. has no power to return Abrego Garcia. During the interview, Trump grew increasingly agitated and repeatedly interrupted Terry Moran to falsely claim Abrego Garcia had tattoos on his knuckles reading MS-13, a reference to the MS-13 gang. In fact, those characters were photoshopped into a picture of tattooed symbols on Abrego Garcia's left hand shared by the White House on social media. Moran made this point in the interview. In Texas, a group of 31 Venezuelan men facing possible deportation to El Salvador's Sicat prison, notorious for its torture and human rights abuses, used their bodies to spell out a cry for help Monday after they spotted a news drone flying above the immigration jail where they're being held. The men formed the letters SOS in a human formation in the courtyard of the Blue Bonnet Detention Facility, which is operated by the For-Profit Management and Training Corporation. A federal judge in Miami has ordered Florida police departments to stop deputizing officers to act as immigration enforcement agents. U.S. District Judge Kathleen Williams' order came as she prepared to issue a preliminary injunction against a new state law that makes it a misdemeanor for undocumented immigrants to enter Florida by eluding immigration agents. In California, a federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction barring Border Patrol officers from stopping people without reasonable suspicion that they're undocumented and preventing them from making warrantless arrests unless they have credible evidence a person is likely to flee. The injunction follows reports that Border Patrol agents carrying out raids in California's Central Valley rounded up day laborers and farm workers, regardless of their actual immigration status, rather than fulfilling their mission of arresting immigrants with serious criminal backgrounds. In Burkina Faso, thousands of people rallied in support of the interim president, Ibrahim Traoré, on Wednesday after military rulers said they foiled a plot to overthrow his transitional government. He seized power after a 2022 coup and moved to end military ties with the former colonizer, France. Protesters also condemned recent comments by General Michael Langley, head of the U.S. military's Africa Command, who accused Traoré of using Burkina Faso's gold reserves to benefit himself rather than the people. This is a protester in Ouagadougou.
Words like democracy, human rights, no one can teach that in Africa. The African continent was the first continent that produced democracy, but not that of the West, which consists of burning countries, burning continents that do not think like them. Here we are today so that our country remains standing, so that our continent remains standing.
Protesters took to the streets of Panama City Wednesday to condemn the signing of a memorandum between the U.S. and Panama that would allow U.S. troops to deploy around the Panama Canal for military training.
We protest because they have stomped over the sovereignty of entire generations who have fought. They dumped our sovereignty to the trash by signing a memorandum of understanding that allows foreign military presence in Panama. Down with the memorandum. Down with the memorandum. Sovereign Panama.
President Trump has repeatedly threatened to take back the Panama Canal, as he's pledged to annex Canada. In Mexico, rights groups are demanding justice for Marco Antonio Suastegui, an environmental activist from Guerrero State who was shot 2 weeks ago and died on Friday. Suastegui helped lead the successful grassroots resistance against the La Perota hydroelectric dam project, which would have devastated the local community. In Pennsylvania, students at Swarthmore College set up a new protest encampment, naming the site the Hossam Shabbat Liberated Zone, in honor of the 23-year-old Palestinian journalist killed by Israel in Gaza in March. Students are demanding Swarthmore, quote, divest from Israeli occupation, aggression, and apartheid and declare itself a sanctuary campus, unquote. And tens of thousands of people are taking to the streets across the United States for May Day, International Workers' Day. Over 1,000 actions in more than 1,000 cities will protest the Trump administration's policies. Worker-led demonstrations are also taking place in countries across the globe. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show in Vermont, where Columbia University student and Palestinian activist Mohsen Mahdawi was released after more than 2 weeks in U.S. immigration custody. Mahdawi is a green card holder from Palestine who was born and raised in a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. He was arrested on April 14th when he appeared for what he was told would be a citizenship interview. Mahdawi had participated in the Palestinian solidarity protests at Columbia last year. He was also president of the Columbia University Buddhist Association. He was freed on bail on Wednesday by U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Crawford, who criticized the Trump administration's handling of the case. In his ruling, Crawford wrote that Mahdawi had made, quote, substantial claims that his detention is the result of a retaliation for protected speech that he engaged in as a college student on the Columbia campus. Crawford went on to write, quote, the court also considers the extraordinary setting of this case and others like it. Legal residents not charged with crimes or misconduct are being arrested and threatened with deportation for stating their views on the political issues of the day. Our nation has seen times like this before, especially during the Red Scare and Palmer raids of 1919-1920 that led to the deportation of hundreds of people suspected of anarchist or communist views, Crawford wrote.
After Mohsen Mahdawi left the federal courthouse in Burlington, Vermont, he addressed supporters.
And we send a clear message as well, that if we have faith in our beliefs, unshakable beliefs, which is the belief that justice is inevitable, we will not fear anyone, because our fight is a fight for love, is a fight for democracy, is a fight for humanity.
Amen. Yes.
And I am saying it clear and loud.
Yes.
To President Trump and his cabinet.
Yes.
I am not afraid of you.
Yes!
Never give up on the idea that justice will prevail, and that we have to come together to bring our voices and our hearts and raise them, not only for America, not only for this system of democracy that has checks and balances and this court is part of it, but also for our humanity. We have to restore and reform the international order and abide by international law as a first step towards justice. We must stand up for humanity, because the rest of the world, not only Palestine, is watching us. And what is going to happen in America is going to affect the rest of the world.
That's right. Yeah.
I will end up by saying to my people in Palestine, I feel your pain. I see you suffering. And I see the freedom. And it is very, very soon.
Yeah.
Free, free Palestine.
Columbia University student and Palestinian activist Mohsen Mahdawi, speaking in Burlington, Vermont, Wednesday after he was freed after over 2 weeks in an immigration jail. We're joined now by a member of his legal team, Shaza Abushi Dalal. She's a staff attorney with the CLEAR Project at CUNY School of Law. Shaza, thank you so much for being with us. I know you've just returned from Vermont, where you were with Mohsen. Can you talk about the significance of what the judge ruled, and what are the conditions of Mohsen's release?
Thank you for having me, Amy. I can't overstate the significance of this ruling and the fact that Mohsen walked free yesterday and wakes up today in his home in Vermont, not in an ICE detention facility being punished for speaking out for Palestinian lives and freedom and against the genocide in Gaza. The judge yesterday ruled, ordered him released on bail. And this is, you know, release on his own recognizance. So he will be able to return to his home in Vermont, continue his studies at Columbia University, complete his undergraduate degree and continue on to a master's program in the fall, and continue his advocacy for Palestinian life and dignity and freedom. And that's of paramount importance to him. And it was of paramount importance to the judge, too. The judge acknowledged that, you know, this is on a backdrop of a chapter of U.S. history that is repressive and evocative of moments before, where the government attempts to wield, you know, the immigration system, detention, to punish people for their First Amendment protected speech, for their political advocacy. And the judge situated his decision on that backdrop, in that context.
So, Shaza, as you said, he can come back to New York. He can return to his studies at Columbia, begin his master's degree next year. Are there any other restrictions on his movement? In other words, he can come from Vermont to New York, but can he go anywhere else? And what is the remaining immigration case against him?
So he's released pending the culmination of his federal litigation, so his habeas litigation in federal court in Vermont. And so the conditions reflect that. He, you know, his court case is in Vermont, so he needs to stay around close to the court, close to the court's jurisdiction in order to see that process through. And that's what that's going to look like.
And the Trump administration initially did want to move him as well, Mohsen, to the same Louisiana immigration jail that Mahmoud Khalil, two other students, Ramesa Ozturk, are held in. How come he was not sent to Louisiana but to Vermont instead?
That's exactly right. The administration was playing the same card and attempting to do the same exact thing that they did with Mahmoud Khalil, Ramesa Ozturk, Badr Khan Suri. They took him, abducted him at his naturalization interview in the final moments after he had signed, saying that he would take an oath to the Constitution. Masked men entered the room and abducted him. And then they attempted to swiftly take him to the airport in order to commence a route towards Louisiana. And the only thing that stopped him is Mohsen's legal team's intervention. They filed the habeas petition before they had the opportunity to put him on a flight. And in fact, they took him all the way to the airport and missed a flight out from Burlington, Vermont at the very last moment. So we you know, had the benefit of having learned what the Trump administration's playbook is on all of these cases, to whisk people, abduct them, take them away from their communities into fora that are favorable for the government, and then present a series of delay tactics in their federal court proceedings on the basis of the fact that they are now in another state like Louisiana. And so ultimately, Mohsen was able to remain in his home state of Vermont, surrounded by his community. And anybody who's seen footage or had the fortune of being at court or in front of court yesterday in the District of Vermont was able to see the power of that community and how you know, people showed up in outrage at what is happening to Mohsen and all the other people like Mahmoud and Rumaysa and Badr Khan Suri, who do not have the benefit of being in their home state and are still waiting to have their motions for release heard by the respective federal courts that they are in.
And so in the case of Remesa, the Fulbright scholar from Tufts, the international graduate student, a federal judge has ruled her case must be heard in Vermont, but she is still in Louisiana being held there because she was moved there. Shaza, so Mohsen gets to come to New York for graduation at Columbia University?
Yes, he does.
I want to thank you very much for being with us. Shaza Abushi-Dalal, staff attorney with the CLEAR Project at CUNY School of Law and a member of Mohsen Mahdawi's legal defense team. She's just back from Vermont here in New York as she was with him yesterday as he was released. When we come back, today is May Day. Massive protests planned across the country. We'll talk to a New York father whose 19-year-old son was detained in the Bronx, then flown with 230 other Venezuelans to a notorious mega prison in El Salvador, where he's being held incommunicado. Stay with us. Singing Spirit of Life with his supporters after he was released Wednesday in Burlington, Vermont, from an ICE jail. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
May Day demonstrations are underway worldwide, with mass protests across the United States today focused on workers' rights and resistance to the Trump administration's crackdown on immigrants and asylum seekers, including the transfer of over 230 men to El Salvador's terrorism confinement center, CECOT, infamous for its human rights abuses. The protests come amid reports the Trump administration is seeking to send immigrants with criminal records to Rwanda and Libya. That's according to CNN, which also reports the U.S. is seeking to send some asylum seekers apprehended at the U.S. border to Libya, including people with no criminal records. This is Secretary of State Marco Rubio speaking at a cabinet meeting Wednesday, sitting next to President Trump.
We are actively searching for other countries to take people from third countries. So we are actively, not just El Salvador, we are working with other countries to say, we want to send you some of the most despicable human beings to your countries. Will you do that as a favor to us? And the further away from America, the better, so they can't come back across the border.
This week, President Trump said he has the power to bring back Maryland father Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who the U.S. government admitted to expelling to an El Salvador prison in error, but that he will not do so, despite court orders. It's been 2 months since the Trump administration rounded up and transferred 238 Venezuelan immigrants from the U.S. to the notorious maximum security mega prison in El Salvador. The men are being held incommunicado without access to their attorneys or relatives, languishing in what appears to be indefinite detention in CECOT.
This week, Democracy Now! Spoke to the father of a 19-year-old Venezuelan teenager who is among them. His name is Merwil Gutierrez. He was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents, outside his apartment here in New York in the Bronx on February 24th. He was sent to El Salvador despite having an open asylum case in the U.S. Merwil's family and lawyers note he has no criminal history, no tattoos, one of the features Trump officials have used to wrongfully accuse Venezuelan immigrants and others of being gang members and to expel them from the country without due process under the wartime Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Merwil's cousin, Luis Acosta, witnessed the February arrest from his window. He described seeing at least 10 officers ambushing Merwil and questioning him. His cousin says authorities were searching for a different person, but they forcibly took Merwil away anyway, knowing he was not that person. One of the officers grabbed the teen by the arm and put him inside a car. Maguire's father, Wilmer Gutierrez, says he's been unable to communicate with his son since he was taken to an ICE jail in Texas, then transferred to El Salvador in March. Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez and I spoke with Wilmer Gutierrez through a translator. We were also joined by Ithar El-Khatatni, editor-in-chief of Documented, a nonprofit newsroom focusing on New York's immigrant community that broke Meriel's story in a report headlined, ICE took his son from their Bronx home. Now his 19-year-old is in Bukele's mega prison in El Salvador. It was written by Paz Radovich. I began by asking Wilmer Gutierrez to describe what happened to his son.
Buenos días. Mi nombre es Wilmer. Soy el padre de Meriel Gutierrez.
Good morning. My name is Wilmer. I'm Meriel Gutierrez's father. The day he was arrested, he was entering the building where we live. That day, I was working, and my nephew called me and told me that my son was being grabbed by the police to take him away without explanation. They were apparently looking for another person, and they grabbed my son, handcuffed him, and put him in the car. One of the policemen asked him his name. He replied that it is Meriel, and the policeman